John chapter number 3. As we've been doing, we're going to read a verse or two out of the last two chapters in the book of John. And someone told me on the parking lot they've really been enjoying this, and I thank God for that. That encourages me. I hope that we understand the need for faith in this generation, not just saving faith, but faith to walk with God, that we might not just have life eternal, but that we'll have life abundantly. Amen. I believe God wants us to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Boy, I remember when he touched me. I tell you, somewhere or another, it might be in my office. I'm not sure if I've got that in my office. Where the old violin, what made the difference was the touch of the master's hand. Amen. You let the master get a hold of you, and I tell you, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. What I'm looking at tonight, we've been looking in the book of John. We several weeks ago now, maybe, well, I know it was over a month ago, the Lord led us to preach a message entitled Finding Help with Our Unbelief. Brother Long, you've been down the trail a long time. Do you still battle unbelief at times, brother? I think everybody, if they'd be honest, amen, we're like that centurion. Lord, I believe. Would you help my unbelief? And then the Lord led us to go from there. I came to the pulpit to preach one message. There were several messages in that. And then we went from there to Abraham believed God. And again, came to the pulpit to preach one message, and it ended up being several messages. And then I was down with Brother Larry. I'm having a hard time remembering his last name now. Hilton in Knoxville, having surgery here a little while back on a Friday morning. I was reading in my Bible in the book of John. If you'll turn over to John, the last chapter, I believe it's the last verse. This is where the Lord led me to do what we're doing right now. In John chapter 21 and verse 25, the Bible said, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." I take this literally, I believe. I've often said it like this: the Lord can accomplish more in 30 seconds than I could accomplish in 30 years. And John said, if everything was written, he said, why, the whole world couldn't contain the books. You go back to John chapter 20 and verse number 30, and the Bible said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. There's 8 miracles recorded in the book of John. But John said there are many others which are not written in this book. Then in verse 31 he said, but these are written, here's our text, that you might believe. Every time I've had the privilege to lead someone to Christ, I've always encouraged them to read in the book of John first, because the book of John was written with that purpose, that you might believe. Now watch it, that Jesus is to Christ the Son of God. I believe that's speaking of the salvation experience. But then he said, in that believing you might have life through his name. I believe that's speaking of a life that is lived abundantly. Jesus said the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I believe if ever there was a generation where we need some Christians at work, some Christians at school, some Christians in our neighborhood, some Christians in the house of God that are full of joy, it's the generation that we live in. Amen. Amen. A young lady visited our church this morning. Now listen to me carefully. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm not throwing any stones. But she told the young man that she was with that the service this morning and the preaching reminded her a whole lot of her Pentecostal roots. Now listen to me carefully. Don't take that the wrong way. You say, why would anybody say something like that? Probably because they visited a few Baptist churches. The services are dry. The services are dead. Our God's not dead, so why should we be? Jesus said, I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. If we just have a little bit of thirst, we don't have to be dry. God can help us. Now back to the book of John, chapter number 3. This morning we talked about Nicodemus and the new birth, and we saw the problem. The problem was sin. We saw the picture that God painted for Nicodemus. He loved Nicodemus so much that he gave him a picture, that serpent being lifted up in the wilderness. Nicodemus was very familiar with that. And he told him, just like the serpent was lifted up, that he would be lifted up. And then we saw the pardon. Thank God there's a God in heaven that offers a pardon. Thank God that thief, as he died there on the cross alongside of Jesus, realized, this man, he's crying out to his Father to forgive them. Maybe I can get in on that. He looks over and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amen. He experienced that pardon. Tonight, I want to look at a little phrase over in the latter part of John chapter 3 and verse number 30. That phrase is, he must increase, but I must decrease. That you might believe. How many believes tonight? I mean believes that things go well when he increases and we decrease. Heard a statement years ago, and I love the statement. It said this, Jesus will make much of a church that makes much of Jesus. When we start meeting to make much of one another, we've missed it. We've lost it. Amen. But if we meet together to lift up him, I tell you tonight, beloved, he'll make much of that church. Let's pray together tonight. Father, thank you for the word of God. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll just move in our midst. Lord, it's been sweet already just to be in the house of God. It's sweet, Lord, to hear the songs. Sweet, Lord, to be able to say it was on a Sunday my Jesus touched me. Yes, it was the hand of the Lord. I never shall forget it, Lord. As long as I have a memory and a mind to remember anything, Lord, I'll never forget that night when you came to where I was and you loved me. Lord, you helped me. You forgave me. You saved me. Lord, you gave me a purpose in life. Thank you for that. Thank you for this little corner of a field to work in these days. I pray, Lord, your will be done in this service. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. He must increase, but I must decrease. Tonight, I'm going to look at verse 22 down through the end of the chapter here a little bit and just give you seven things that happen when this truth is settled in our hearts. When we get that truth settled in our hearts, that he must increase. In other words, it's not optional tonight. He must increase. You go to heaven, the new birth is not optional. You must be born again. And if you're going to have an abundant life that you might believe, having that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Brother Mike, I don't say this lightly. God has blessed you with a wonderful talent, and all three of you a while ago did a marvelous job singing. But what really, really carried the weight with me, Brother Mike, is knowing what you've been through with your wife. Amen. And knowing that God is real, not just in a song, not just in words. Amen. Brother Long, you may not know Brother Mike, but his wife suffers with the same thing Sister Dolores suffered with. And I tell you tonight, it means a lot when somebody can stand up, having been down that road, and say he's real and he'll be there for you. Amen. when you call on him. Let's look tonight at some things that what really happens when this truth is settled in our hearts that he must increase and I must decrease. Number one, the believer of this truth, if you really believe this truth, that man or that woman is determined to be obedient to the Lord. Let me show you what I mean. In verse number 22 and 23, the Bible said, "And after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptized in Anon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized." You say, "Preacher, I don't know why you'd pick up on that tonight about obedience." Let me just say this tonight. One of the first things that a new believer can do in obedience to the Lord is to obey the Lord. Follow the Lord, if you please. Whichever phrase is right, we're commanded to be baptized. And I believe one of the first things you can do is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. He said, "Preach, I don't know why that would be so prevalent in your heart tonight." Let me just tell you why. Because the young man that got saved this morning before he ever got off the front porch of the church, he said to me, "I never mentioned it." He said, "I need to be baptized." I said, "Son, we're going to have a baptizing for long. Amen." And I tell you what, I believe that's wonderful, don't you? I want to say this tonight, and I'm going to say it carefully, because I had a discussion not too long ago with a man that I love dearly, amen, that about the mode of baptism. So I've been studying a little bit. And if you go to the Greek word, baptizo, it means to immerse, to submerge, to make whelmed. It's used only in the New Testament of a ceremonial ablution and especially the ordinance of Christian baptism. Something I did not know, Brother Long, is that when the King James translators translated the Bible from the Greek into the English language, they left it over there in the Greek in that baptized because they knew that there were going to be a lot of people offended if they put in there immersed or submerged. But that's exactly what it means in the Greek language. I believe with all of my heart that these beloved, listen, watch what the Bible said right here. "And John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized." Why did the Bible say? Why did the Bible put that in there? There was much water there. Because I believe it takes much water to do a Christian baptism. Say amen. I believe that. Look at Acts chapter 8 with me for just a minute. I'm being careful tonight because I want to stay in the Bible. I do not mean to offend, and I would not offend for nothing in this world. But I'm not a pastor if I don't preach the truth of God's word. Amen. I believe if you look over here in the Bible, it says here, "And Philip opened his mouth," in verse 35 of Acts 8. This is talking about the eunuch. "And Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip's going to tell him, "There's one thing standing between you and baptism. That's believing." Beloved, if a person's not a believer, they got no business being baptized. But if a person's a believer, a born-again believer, then, beloved, they ought to want to obey the Lord in believer's baptism. "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Boy, don't that sound like John chapter number 20. Amen. Now watch this. He said, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still." Look at these words. "And they went down both into the water." Beloved, I'm not being dogmatic tonight, but I'm reading the Bible, and it looks to me like God said it's important that you know they went down, both of them, into the water. You can't do that in a cup full of water. You can't do that in a pitcher full of water. And John over here says there was much water there. And so they were baptizing. Amen. I believe that baptism is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's telling the world, everybody, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed to be identified with Jesus. Amen. In believers' baptism. So if we believe he must increase and I must decrease, then that truth is settled in our heart. Then number one, the believer of this truth is determined to be obedient to the Lord. I got saved. I'd been a church member for 6.5 years. And the devil didn't mind that. Amen. I was baptized as a lost person. That didn't mean anything. That wasn't a picture of anything except a grown man getting wet. That's all it was. But when I got saved, my pastor never mentioned anything to me. But it just seemed like, I don't know the length of time, it wasn't long that I was going to him. I was going to him for a couple of different things. Number one, I was telling him, Pastor, whatever you need. I didn't come here to tell you what I would do or wouldn't do. I said, if you need something painted, I'll paint it. If you need me to mow grass, I'll mow it. Need me to drive a van, I'll drive it. Need me to clean the toilet, I'll clean it. Need me to teach a class, I'll just do whatever you need me to do, Pastor. And then I said, Pastor, I need to be baptized. I'm telling you with all my heart tonight, I believe when a person gets born again, there's a desire in that heart to be obedient to the Lord of glory. Don't you? The second thing I see tonight, he must increase and I must decrease. The believer of this truth realizes that everything good about themselves comes from the Lord. Look at verse number 27 in John chapter 3, if you would. Have turned back over there tonight. John chapter number 3. And beloved, listen, I realize tonight when you're preaching the Bible that God is not limited. God is speaking to more than one heart tonight about obedience. I promise you that. Amen. John tonight, chapter number 3. What's the second thing? He must increase, but I must decrease. The believer of this truth is determined to be obedient to the Lord. The believer of this truth realizes that everything good about themselves comes from the Lord. Look at verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. I'm going to tell you something tonight. That don't make me want to swell up. That makes me want to bow down and say, God, you're the reason. Amen. You're the reason I'm saved. You're the reason I have a family. You're the reason I have a roof over my head. You're the reason I have a Bible to read and study. You're the reason I have access to the throne of God. You're the reason. Everything. The Bible said it like this in the book of James. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I believe really that I believe the happiest Christians in this world. I know that you got to have a deed, and I know that you got to have a title to a car. I know all that. But the happy Christians are the ones that realize we don't own anything. Hallelujah. Everything we have is temporal. Everything we have is borrowed. Everything we have is on loan from our Father tonight. He wants us to be good stewards of it. But I tell you, the person that thinks, well, look what I have. I had a neighbor one time that crossed his feet up on the dashboard of his truck. He told me and my dad. I mean, I was a lost man that made me want to vomit. He told me and my dad, he said, I just like to go up on the hill and look at my farm. Oh, ain't it nice? We went in his house. He remodeled a little old farmhouse. And ain't this nice? Boys, you'd have never thought this looked like this from the outside, would you? Ain't this nice? Ain't this nice? Full of pride. When he ordered to Brother Wayne been cooking his shoes off in the house of God, amen, he is crossing his feet on his dashboard looking at his farm. I hope the man didn't die like that. If he did, it's too late now. But I tell you tonight, I believe the believer of this truth, he must increase, I must decrease. He realizes that everything good about us comes from the Lord. I say this tonight, if there's anything good about me, he's responsible for it. And if there's anything bad about me, and there is, you put that on my account. Say amen. That's not on him, that's on me. The third thing I see tonight, the believer of this truth is preparing the way for the Lord. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, you go on down here in John said, ye yourselves in verse 28 bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I'm sent before him. Did you ever think about your life tonight? Listen, I know that John had a special ministry and John had a call of God on his life. I realize that tonight. But do you realize that every one of us has a special ministry? That we're running out there in front of the Lord. We're making a way, beloved, that somebody else might see Christ in our life. That somebody else might get thirsty. That's why God said you're salt. Salt's a preservative. Salt creates thirst. You're the salt of the earth. Amen. I believe it causes somebody else to get interested in the things of God. Oh, beloved friend, John was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. I believe as we go out on Saturday, Brother Brian, this must have made a mark in his heart because he brings it up several times. He's brought it up. We're going to go out there and, you know, one person one day, they may be ill. I don't mean sick ill, I mean mad ill, M-A-D. They may not want to talk. Well, you shouldn't force it. Say amen. You shouldn't force the situation. You ought to leave a door open. And realizing that you might just be preparing the way for somebody else to come along. Amen? But you get in there and get in an argument with them. Amen? That's what the devil wants to do, is argue. Amen? I'll tell you tonight, I believe with all of my heart that God would help us, that he might increase and we might decrease if we just realize that our life is preparing the way that somebody else might see Jesus. I'll give you this, and I'm not going to be specific about it, but a man told me today about a man on the job. Now listen to me carefully. I'm not even going to say what store. Amen. I probably shouldn't have said it was a store, but I done said it was a store, so I won't say what store is a store. Say amen. They told me about a guy that is lazy. I won't mention the guy's name because I don't know it. Praise God. Might have been Ralph. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. I'm kidding you, Brother Ralph. But what he told me was this man's lazy. He won't do his job. But come break time, he wants to get his Bible out and for a big show, let everybody know that he's a Christian and he loves the Lord. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you love the Lord, you might not like what I'm about to say, but if you get a 30-minute lunch, don't take 32. If you get a 10-minute break, don't take 15. If you get a 15-minute break, don't take 20. I tell you what, if you love the Lord, then do all that you do to the glory of God. Amen. Do the best job you can. And that might make a way for somebody else to see Christ in your life. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, there's some people that have never darkened the door of a church because of what they've seen in the lives of some that do darken the door of the church. There's a filthy joke going on. We ought, if we can't rebuke it in love, we ought to go the other way as hard as we can. Get out from under that mess. Amen. It won't take them long, beloved, to understand there's something about you. The believer, he must increase and I must decrease. We're determined to be obedient to the Lord. We realize everything good comes from God. And we realize tonight that we're preparing the way for the Lord. Number four. The believer of this truth, listen to me carefully, is truly a friend of God. Look what the Bible said right here. The Bible said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom. Old John knew where he belonged, didn't he? He said, I'm not the bridegroom, but praise God, let me just put a parenthesis in right here and tell you I am his friend. If we believe that he must increase and we must decrease, that puts us in a good place to be a friend of the bridegroom, to be a friend of God tonight. Abraham was called a friend of God. A man that's eat up with pride will never be a friend of God. A man that's in love with this world will never be a friend of God. The Bible said if we love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what the Bible said. I believe that the friendship of this world is an enmity with God. Beloved, tonight, if we believe that he must increase and I must decrease, that man, that woman truly is a friend of God. Number five, notice what the Bible said here in this verse. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth, watch this, what's that next word? And heareth him. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's nothing in this world that'll take the place of hearing from heaven. You say, preacher, I haven't heard from heaven in a long time. I'm going to tell you something right now. When the heavens become brass, it's not his fault. The Bible said our sin, our iniquity has separated us from God. Say amen. I'm not talking about a sinner right there. I'm talking about a child of God. A sinner, my beloved, doesn't have that access to the throne of God except to be saved. Tonight, here's a man, John. He said, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. And he said, I stand and I hear him. My beloved, tonight, I tell you something right now. I'd hate to be in a place where I couldn't hear from heaven. I'd hate to be in a place where God couldn't take this whole book and speak to my heart. Amen. I believe tonight when a man lives, he must increase. That's a life of humility. I must decrease. That man's going to enjoy friendship with God. He's going to get to hear from heaven. Number six tonight. This goes without saying, but it's right here in the verse. Look at verse number 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him. Look, what's the next word? How many of y'all have ever known anybody that didn't have much of this world's goods? You remember Lissy Mogg, don't you, Brother Long? Was she there when you were there, Brother? Sister Lissy Mogg lived in a shack. Now, you can say shack, but literally, she lived in a shack. You say, preacher, I wouldn't even mention that lady's name. That lady's in glory. And she'd say, tell them, preacher! I'd go down there to visit her. It'd be 90 degrees in the house, 90 plus. She'd have on a sweater. She'd have on a toboggan. She'd be sitting in a rocking chair. Guess what was in her lap? Word of God. Didn't have running water in the house for years and years, and she finally let them put a spigot in her sink in the kitchen. I went to visit one day, Brother Long, and I stepped on the porch, and I about broke my neck, amen. One of the porch boards was what we used to call doughty, rotten. You understand what I mean? And I said, Sister Lissy, I'm bringing some men down here from the church, and we're going to fix that porch before you or somebody else gets hurt. Oh, Pastor, she said, please don't do that. She said, now, if you want to patch it up a little bit for me, that'd be just fine. She said, Pastor, we wouldn't want to fix it up too nice. Said, they'd just fight over it when I'm gone. That's what she said. There was one of our deacons down there at the time. She needed, Brother John, a pane of glass. I think, what are they, 8x10, Brother John, or about that size, just the old-timey pane of glass. It was broke. She needed one put in. And I give the wrong man that job. I'm telling you right now, I did. Brother David, he used that caulk or that, what do they call that stuff? What is it called, Brother John? Putty, yeah, that stuff around that window. And when he got done, Brother John, that window was 8x10. There might have been a 2-inch square in the middle of it that you could see out of with one eye. He had that putty all over that. But I'm going to tell you what, that woman was tickled to death. I did take a razor blade and open the hole up a little bit, say amen, so she could see through it. I believe she had it right. She was one of the most rejoicing ladies I've ever seen in my life. She had peace with God. She had the peace of God. Came in one time in the spring. It was like this. The weather was breaking. And somebody said to her, Sister Lissy said, boy, ain't it nice outside? She said, yeah, but it won't be long. Said the pastor will turn that old air conditioner on and make it wintertime again. That's what she said. Amen. She didn't have an air conditioner. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. When I think about people that are rejoicing, it's not always people that's got all the things of this world. Now listen, if you're close to God, you can have whatever and rejoice. But if you're not close to God, there's no rejoicing. Amen. I believe when He's increasing and we're decreasing, we're in a good place to rejoice. The believer of this truth will rejoice. One more thing, and I'm done. Number seven, the believer of this truth, now watch this, understands when we realize that he must increase, I must decrease. Remember going back to preparing the way, making a way that somebody else might see the path. years ago, I can't remember the particulars of it, but it was a village, people that lived in a village, and they had a place where they would go and pray, and they would check on one another. When the path was wore down, then they knew everything was all right. But if weeds started growing up in the path, then somebody loves somebody else enough to come over and say, "What's going on? You ain't going to pray like you used to." Amen? In other words, the weeds is growing up, and it was evidence that the path wasn't wore out the way it used to be wore out. I'll just say tonight, listen, when he's increasing and we're decreasing, it'll never happen without a path that's wore out. We've got to stay close to him. Watch this last thing. We understand something. The believer of this truth understands that there are two sides of the Lord. I'm done. Now listen to me right here, and we're going to have altar prayer. What do you mean, preacher, two sides of the Lord? Everybody loves John 3:16, don't they? I do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Read verse 36, Brother Steve, for me. Would you please, brother? John 3:36. But the wrath of God abideth on him. When a person walks humbly with the Lord, they realize that there's something more to him than just love and just mercy and just grace. We'll want to see our loved ones saved, because if they don't experience his love and his mercy and his grace, then, beloved, the Bible points out that the unbeliever will experience the wrath of God. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me carefully tonight. The average pulpit in America has forgotten that truth. Let me tell you why. Because the average pulpit in America, it's about this guy increasing. But when he's increasing and we're decreasing, we'll never forget there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. I believe with all my heart tonight, John said that you might believe. If I wrote all the books, all the things Jesus did, he said the whole world couldn't contain the books. But these are written that you might believe. I believe if you went down there and talked to John, John would say, "Oh no, I'm not him. I'm not the light. I'm just sent to bear witness of the light. That's the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And beloved, I don't know of a better job in the world than just bearing witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Both with our life and our lips and our literature. A little while back, I say this again. We have visitors with us tonight. It doesn't matter. I don't say it to be offensive, but a little while back we were having a service here in the church, and somebody found an NIV Bible up in here. Somebody held it up and said, "Pastor, what should I do with it?" I said, "Throw it in a trash can." Didn't have a name on it. If it had a name on it, I'd talk to that individual and encourage them to throw it in the trash can. And if they didn't want to and wanted me to, I'd be glad to. Because the truth of God's word will stand. Amen. They can't even get John 3:16 right. What in the world else are they going to get right? Amen. If they can't get John 3:16 right. Help us, Lord. Stay by the stuff. Don't be offended by that. It amazes me. It amazes me how far that we've gotten in these days from where we used to be. Years ago, I saw an illustration, and I'm done. Jesus is in the world, right? There's the church, and there's the world. The world moves. There's a gap. Come up here. Come up here. Come up here, Brother Preston. Come up here and help me this minute. Watch this. There's Jesus. Here's the church. Here's the world. How many knows the world You call it a progressive movement, you better believe it. It's progressively getting worse. Progressively getting worse. The baby can come out now and kill it. Two men can stand in front of something. I won't call him a preacher. Have a ceremony and kiss one another. I say gag a maggot off a gut wagon. So the world moves. Go on, world. Now, church gets excited. Oh, we got to maintain that distance between us and the world. The world moves. The church says, oh, we're not going to be over in that world. Go on, world. The world moves again. The church says, we're not going to be over in that world. We're going to keep a distance. We're going to be separated, Brother Long, from that world. Go on, world. Now, let me ask you something. Somebody tell me, where does the church belong? I don't care where the world goes. Right here is where the church belongs. Let me say this to you tonight. If we can't even get the right book, how are we going to have a chance? Amen. Standing there. Amen. We ain't going to have a chance. I'm glad I got the right book. I'm glad this book says don't make much of yourself, preacher. Make much of Jesus. He needs to increase. You need to decrease. You ain't nothing, preacher, without me. That's what Jesus said. You can't do anything without me. Well, maybe, Miss English teacher, that ain't exactly how he said it. My wife teaches English, Brother Long, so when you say you ain't nothing, it ain't exactly kosher with the English language. But Baptists understand it. Amen. Tonight, how many say with me, Pastor, by the grace of God, I want him to increase at my house. I want to decrease that I might have the blessings of God. Brother Aaron, that we might lead a bunch of children in the right path. It ain't about us. It's about him. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight.